Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
And more importantly, welcome neighbors. It's an interesting thought, but we hear that whole sense of neighbor that is wove through our Good Samaritan parable that we heard here this morning. And you know, as we go through life, we sometimes forget who our neighbors are. In fact, sometimes do we even think that we live in God's neighborhood? This is His kingdom, and we're all here together as children of God, and we're all called to be neighborly to one another all the time. But you know, what's kind of interesting in our gospel today from Luke is there are questions that kind of start to entice this whole dialogue that takes place. As a matter of fact, we probably wouldn't even have heard the parable of the Good Samaritan, this illustration, the story, if it wouldn't have been for two key questions. But there are five key questions that take place in our gospel today. In fact, our lives are full of questions. We ask questions every day. What's for breakfast? How's the weather going to be? Etc. There is a couple sitting here in the first pew. I was talking to Richard and Angie just before Mass began, and I said to Richard, I said, so who asked the question? And he said, well, I suppose I did. And Angie was quick to remind him that, you know what? It was 1955 on Christmas Eve, Richard, when you asked me to marry you. You know, so that's so interesting. And you know what? What a beautiful way to celebrate that gift of love here today. After all those years, you are a gift to our neighborhood here today as we celebrate the love that you have and celebrate that in the house of the Lord. So thank you so much for your dedication. And more importantly, thank you for saying yes, because you're continuing to say yes after all these years. You know, and speaking about other questions, you know, I want to just share with you just a kind of a unique comparison. As long as we're talking about the key question in our gospel today, when the scholar of the law said, teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? That's a very important question. In fact, it's probably one of the most important questions any of us can even begin to ask ourselves. How many times do we really say to God, God, what do I need to do to spend all of eternity with you? God has a way of speaking to us in a variety of ways, and sometimes it's the questions that we ask that touch our hearts. I'll give you a couple examples. About 15 years ago, I gave a homily here that had to do with eternal life, had to do with heaven. And I went to our principal at the time, and I said to him, I said, I have a favor to ask of you. I would like to have some of your students write me a little note that I could use in my homily. I would like them to describe heaven and why they want to go there. So the principal went to the school, and I got a slew of letters from all these kids at the school. But there was one particular one that really kind of struck me. It was kind of cute because here was a fifth grade girl, okay? And she describes heaven as this beautiful place with all these flowers and streams and water flowing and animals and cats and dogs and everyone's enjoying life together and et cetera, et cetera. She's describing all this and she's got little pictures drawn on her paper. And then she starts to describe why she wants to go to heaven, because she wants to have peace and joy for the rest of that she can possibly remember. And then she says this at the very, very end. She says, I really want to see the Lord, but not yet. I guess that's a typical answer for someone who's about 10 or 11 years of age, because you're looking for a long life, okay? And then as a comparison to that, I happen to have got to know one of our parishioners at Holy Trinity in Newburgh. His name is Tony. And Tony is a fellow about 84 years of age. He's a short little guy, bald-headed. Father Nate knows him because he has a chance to visit with him once in a while. But several months ago, Tony was given some information from the doctors and said, Tony, you don't have that much longer with us. And Tony's taking this in stride. And when I heard about this, so I went up to him and I says, Tony, my heart goes out to you. I'm going to pray for you. And in fact, I call him the monk, because just about what he looks like, he's just a great little guy, full of joy and love of the Lord. And I said, I'll continue to pray for you, and my heart goes out to you. And he says, Michael, stop. He said, I am excited. And I looked at him. I says, you are, Tony? He says, yeah. He says, I can't wait to see the Lord. Now, when you take the comparison of a 10 or 11-year-old, which is looking for life, and you're looking at an 84, 85-year-old man, look at the transition, the transformation that takes place in our lives. And that's what God is asking us all to do, is to reach deep into our own hearts and grow in our faith, to anticipate either, you know, that whole sense of eternal life. And it's kind of interesting, as we go back to our gospel today, here is a lawyer. He is an expert on the law of spirituality. He's a theologian in a sense. Okay? That's his expertise. And he's got a couple of ideas in his mind, but he goes up to the Lord and he says, Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? I just want to pause here just for a second. I want you to think about something. What that man didn't realize is he was talking to eternal life himself. Think about that. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he was talking to eternal life when he asked that question. Something for us to think about, even when we pray to our dear Lord. But of course, Jesus didn't know exactly what he meant, but he knew who he was, even though the man, when he stood up, didn't say he was a lawyer. Jesus knew he was a expert on the law, because what does Jesus say? Second question in our gospel, what is written in the law? And that's when this expert of the law begins to speak. And now he's got it all up here in his head. This is where it's at. It's not necessarily in his heart yet. God's going to get to that in just a few moments. But how does he reply? He said, well, Lord, Jesus, this is what you have to say. He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. That was a key phrase right there, which is true. And your neighbor as yourself. And of course, how does Jesus reply to that? He says, well, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. Well, then, of course, we have this lawyer. He wants to justify himself. He wants to prove a point. He wants to let Jesus know that he's really on top of things. But then he says to Jesus, he says, by the way, Jesus, who is my neighbor? That was a very key question. Because as we hear the story now of the Good Samaritan, it begins to unfold. So let's revisit that just for a moment to remind ourselves. Here there was a man who was beaten, he was stripped, and he was lay there half dead on the side of the road, traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. And by the way, that route from Jerusalem to Jericho is about a 17-mile walk downhill. When you leave Jerusalem, you're at an elevation of about 3,000 feet high above sea level. And Jericho is about 1,000 feet below sea level at the edge of the Dead Sea. And this journey is full of winds and turns and crevices and cliffs, and it's a treacherous route. You would not want to go jogging on this path that takes you to Jericho. But Jesus is describing that this is where this man was left for dead. And then he begins to say there was a priest that happened to come by. He's using that example because he knows that this lawyer would be accustomed to a priest. He says this priest come by and takes one look at him and passes by on the opposite side of the road. And then, of course, then he goes on to say person number two. Then a Levite comes and does the same thing. Walks by on the opposite side of the road, keeps going. And again, a Levite would have been another part of that whole Jewish tradition in the temple and so forth. These are all leaders. They all have different responsibilities. But Jesus knows that he would be linked to this particular person. But then the third person, a Samaritan. There was no love lost between the Jewish people and the Samaritans. They did not get along. The Jewish people had no respect for the Samaritans, but Jesus uses this as an example. Then the Samaritan traveler comes by, and he stops, and he's moved with compassion. And he picks this man up and he puts him on an animal. He first takes his wine and he takes the oils and he rubs them down to give him some comfort. Puts him on the animal, takes him to an inn. Okay? When he gets to the inn, he spends the whole night with him, because we hear in the next morning, we said that the next day he gets up and he gives 2 coins to the innkeeper. He says, here, take care of him. And if you need more when I come back, I will repay you for it. Take care of him. The sky's the limit. And then Jesus asks a next question, going back to the same question that the ruler asked. Who is my neighbor? Remember, that's what the ruler asked. Jesus comes back with this question. Which of these three, in your opinion, was neighbor to the robber? Now, Jesus could have said, which one of these men took care of him the best? But he didn't. He was throwing the question right back at the ruler. And why? He was trying to show that ruler that we are all called to be neighborly and love one another with absolutely no type of segregation, no type of judgments, none of that. No matter who you are, we are called to love and serve one another. And he set that example right there before us. It's kind of interesting. I went to a funeral yesterday, and the woman who passed away was in her mid-70s. Her name is Gwen. Maybe some of you might recognize this, what happened here, but on July 4th at our fireworks here in West Bend, there was a woman who left her family to go to the restroom, and on her way to the restroom, she sat down and collapsed, and they called in the fire department. They tried to resuscitate her, but she passed away right there at the fireworks here in West Bend. And we happen to know Gwen and her husband John and her children, Mark and Teresa, and we heard about this, and our hearts were just filled with sorrow for them. So Dee and I went to the funeral home, but what really struck me is when I talked to the husband John and Mark and Teresa, the two children, what really brought so much joy to their lives and comfort was all the people who were present there that were amongst that small crowd right there that witnessed this, how they held their hands and how they hugged them and how they offered meals. And they said, look, we'll take your lawn chairs back to your house. Go with your family. Just be there. We'll be there for you. As a matter of fact, I was talking to one of the family members after the 8 o'clock Mass, and she came up to me and she says, Deacon Mike, she says, you have no idea what that felt like when all those people cared for us and embraced us. That's what it's called to be a neighbor. And you know what? We never know when we're going to be put into these circumstances in our lives. Sometimes they come out of nowhere. God almost surprises us. Says, are you ready now to jump into this role? It's obvious this parable of the Good Samaritan was an example for our Lord Jesus Christ to demonstrate to this legal authoritative person to stop putting all this stuff up in your head and start to live out love in your heart and accept all of God's people, because that's what we're called to do. So our message for today is something like this. Our dear Lord has created us to live in his neighborhood. We're all sisters and brothers, and we never know when we're going to be called out to serve and help someone else in need. And if we continue to pray to our dear Lord and have the faith and the trust that he'll give us that spirit to help us out to do that, we can give ourselves away to those people in need. Because Jesus ended his comments in our gospel today to that lawyer by saying simply this. Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. And that's what God asks for all of us. We're all called to go and do likewise. I say this through Christ our Lord. Amen.